Please have your Bibles open at Hebrews 11. I'm going to be introducing that chapter this evening. There's no way that we could go through that whole chapter and do it justice in one message. But I hope that in having some kind of an overview, we will be blessed this evening. Well, the Hebrew Christians felt like giving up. Why? Well, because it's hard following Jesus in a world that hates him. And that's becoming more and more evident, isn't it, for us and the world around us, that the world hates Jesus. It hates the standards of God's word. It hates God's design for us. And it's hard following Jesus in such an environment. Well, these Hebrew Christians, they had an escape route available to them. What was it? Well, it was to go back to Judaism and to all the priests and sacrifices that they were so familiar with. And that was attractive to them, because it would have meant less persecution for them. They'd have been accepted again by their own people, the Jews, and they'd have had some kind of status within the Roman Empire. But that would have meant turning their back on Jesus, who was their only real hope. That tempting escape route actually wouldn't lead to safety. It would lead to destruction. And we have some tempting escape routes. You can think, what are the escape routes that we're tempted to take in our society today? Perhaps to downplay some of the things that we believe. To say, well, there may be other ways to God. Or perhaps it's not so important to turn away from our sins. Well, such things, such tempting escape routes don't lead to safety. They may appear to do so, but they lead to destruction. And the writer of this letter is assuring these Christians who are struggling that following Jesus is worth it. He's far better than all the priests and sacrifices. What they could never do, what they were only pointing towards, he has done. And if you're trusting in him, your sins are forgiven and you have a wonderful future ahead. That's what he's telling these believers in the first century. It's what he's telling us this evening as we read this letter. And he says there in chapter 10, verse 35, don't throw away your confidence. He says your confidence in Christ is a precious thing. Don't put it in the rubbish bin. Don't get rid of it. It has great reward. What you need, he says in chapter 10, verse 36, is endurance. You're in a long-distance race. It's not a 100-meter sprint, this Christian life. It's a long haul. If you keep going, you won't be disappointed. Even though you go through hardships, you won't be disappointed, but you will be delighted. Well, it's not just these early Christians in the first century who needed endurance. We need it too. If we are Christians this evening, we need endurance. So how will we keep going? How will we be energized for this long distance race through all the pressures that we face in life? Well, the writer of this letter doesn't leave us guessing. He tells us, if we're going to endure, we need faith. And that's, if you like, the heading for the whole message this evening. You, we need faith. You need faith. We need faith. And so our first lesson about faith this evening, this faith that we need, is that faith is the key to endurance. Faith is the key to endurance. You won't keep going in the Christian life by your own willpower. You need faith. As it say there in verse 38 of chapter 10, it says, the just or the righteous person will live by faith. Faith is essential. It says there in the next verse, we are not of those who draw back to destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. It's by believing that we will be saved. And so the writer turns our attention to faith. Some of you like grammar, saying we believe, well, that's the action, having faith, and faith is the noun, the thing. Saying you believe is the same as saying you have faith. Well, faith is so important that the writer of this letter has a lot to say about it. We read that large section this evening. There's so much there, isn't there, about faith. And so we come to this famous part of Hebrews where he's talking about faith. And in chapter 11, there weren't, of course, any chapters in the original when he wrote it, but as we have it in chapter 11, he's talking about faith. And he tells us what faith is. He tells us why we need faith and what faith leads to. And he works through the history of the Old Testament and picks out examples of real people who had faith. In fact, he's spoilt for choice. He'd like to bring in other examples, really, but there are so many examples in the Old Testament that he doesn't even have time to mention them all. And these people are speaking to us by their example. And in chapter 12, verse 1, the writer of this letter pictures them as a great cloud of witnesses. A cloud, you see it as one object, but if you look more closely at this cloud, it's made up of all these different individuals. They're all people who had faith. And they're saying to us by their lives, recorded for us in Scripture, keep going. It's worth it. By faith, we endured. You can do the same. Keep going. Keep on. And so the writer shows us in this chapter what a faith-filled life looks like. These people did some amazing things because they had faith. It wasn't that they had easy lives. Faith didn't make their lives easy, but it helped them to persevere. They persevered because they had through faith, even through great sufferings and trials. The writer tells us what a faith-filled life leads to. He says there's a reward ahead for those who live by faith. The people in this chapter sometimes looked like losers, but actually they were winners. Yes, some of them did even lose their lives because they loved God, but none of them will lose their reward. So he shows us what a faith-filled life looks like. He shows us what a faith-filled life leads to, rewards. And finally, he brings us to Jesus himself. Chapter 12, verse 2. It's Jesus, who is the ultimate man of faith, who endured more than anyone else for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. And he is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the source of our faith and the goal of our faith. True faith is believing in him. So that's a bit of an overview of the chapter. The faith that these people had, we need too. Faith is the key to endurance. Let's now zoom in just to the first two verses of chapter 11. They really introduce this whole section on faith. And our next lesson really is from verse 1. Faith is future focused. In other words, faith looks to the future. Faith is future focused. Now, there are many things that could be said about faith. There are many things in the Bible, in other parts of the Bible, about faith. But here in verse 1 of this chapter, he points out the connection between faith and hope. And he says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you want another translation, ESV says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Substance of things hoped for, assurance of things hoped for. Faith doesn't look to things that we can see now. It looks ahead to things that God has promised in the future, things that we can't see now, but they are nonetheless real. It's by faith that we know that God's promises are true, and we have a certain hope that we will receive what he has promised. And that's how God's people in this chapter, God's people in the past lived, and it's how they died. It says in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is future focused. And that's very different to the mindset of most people in the world. How do most people in the world think? Where is their focus? Well, by and large, the focus of the world around us is now, isn't it? The here and now. Get it now. Why wait? Buy it now, even if you can't afford it, and pay it off later. And yes, people do plan for the future. They plan for retirement. I'm not saying that planning for the future is wrong, necessarily. They plan for the future, even for future generations. A lot of talk, isn't there, about global warming, whatever the reality is amidst all the competing views and things going on, but people are making preparations for the future. We have to look after the world that we live in for future generations. That's quite a powerful message coming through. But even then, all the hopes and all the planning is about the present world order, isn't it? It's a world that's still subject to natural disasters and to human foolishness. Their focus is on the here and now, even if it's the future here and now, as it were, the future of this present order. But as Christians, our hope rests on things that are beyond this present world. And with the eyes of faith, we see the solid reality of things to come. We know that the here and now, this present order of things, is only temporary. It will soon be gone. Heaven and earth will pass away, said Jesus, but my words will by no means pass away. Matthew 24:35. God's promises are more solid than the ground under our feet. Faith isn't wishful thinking. It's not the case of imagining positive things happening to you to try and lift your spirits, improve your feelings. No. Faith is trusting the solid reality of what God has promised based on what Christ has done. That's what the focus of the writer has been up to this point. Christ has done all these things. Christ has finished his work. Christ is the great high priest. His sacrifice is complete. And now he's saying, look ahead. Look ahead to what he has achieved for you. What are the things God has promised us? Well, in this chapter here, there's several names for them. They're called in verse 10, a city which has foundations. In verse 14, they're called a homeland. Verse 16, a heavenly country. The things that God has promised are what God said to Isaiah. Isaiah 65, verse 17, God says, for behold, I create a new heavens and new earth. The former shall not be remembered or come to mind. And that promise is surely what Peter had in his mind when he says in 2 Peter 3, verses 12 to 14, he says, nevertheless, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And then you have that very full description, Revelation 21, verse 1, he says, John says, now I saw, in his vision he's talking, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said, write, for these words are true and faithful. Those are the promises that we have, some of the promises that we have. What wonderful promises we have if we are trusting in Jesus Christ this evening. So we see here in this verse 1 of chapter 11 that faith and hope go together. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the confidence of things that we hope for. That certain hope. Faith feeds on God's promises, it says. God has said. And then faith in turn feeds hope. We have hope when we believe in God's promises. We're strengthened to endure things we couldn't otherwise endure. And this faith makes us sure of the things that we look forward to, even though we can't see them. God has said it is all the evidence we need to base the whole of our living on the reality of what we can't see now, but will see one day. And like the old NIV translation that Richard reminds me of, that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And it really captures some of the sense of that verse there in Hebrews 1. So faith is the key to endurance. Faith is future focused. And then finally, faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. Verse 2. By it, the elders obtained, by faith in other words, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Well, who are the elders? Are they the church elders? No, they're not. The elders are the people in history that he's going to be talking about, the ancients, as it were, the people who've lived in the past, the examples of faith that he's going to be going through in this chapter. And he says, the elders, these people of old, they obtained a good testimony by faith. Well, what is the good testimony? Well, it's God's verdict on their lives. God's comment on these people when he looked at them, when he does look at them, is this: good. A good testimony. God says good about these people. Now, some of you know what it is to do tests. You may do a test where you have to do a set of sums or write an essay, and then it's going to be marked afterwards. And sometimes your teacher may write good at the bottom or the top of the paper, wherever it is. You've done a good job. Your teacher is pleased with you, be that your mum or someone else. So, how did God come to write good over these people's lives? Well, simply because they had faith. That's what it says. By it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. But it wasn't that they themselves were good people. Yes, you might think that if we just read this chapter, because it's focusing on the great things that they did. But if you read the Old Testament and you know what it says there, then the Old Testament tells us about some of the sins, doesn't it, of these people, of Abraham and Jacob, for example. Many sins that they had, even as believers. And yet, God writes good over their lives. What was it that made the difference? Well, it was their faith in God. They had faith in God. It was their faith that pleased God. Well, how did their faith please God? Did their faith earn God's favor? Did God say, well, that person has faith, that's worth something, I'm going to bless them because they've done something really good in having faith? Well, no, it's not like that at all. The reason that their faith pleased God was that where their faith was pointed, their faith was directed towards God. Their faith looked forward to God's provision for them. Faith is the opposite of relying on ourselves. We like to rely on ourselves, don't we? Even when we're young, we might say, well, you know, do you need help with that? No, I can do it myself. And we like to do it. Even I have that at work sometimes. I'll be working on a problem. I'll keep working at it. I could ask somebody else, but no, that's humbling to ask someone else. I'll keep bashing away at it. And We're like that, aren't we? But faith is the opposite of relying on ourselves. Faith looks to God and to God alone for blessing. Faith goes, says, I don't have it, but God, you do. It says there in verse 4, and we'll no doubt look in more detail at some of these verses we trust in future, but it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness, in other words, from God, that good testimony that he was righteous. By faith, he offered to God that sacrifice. Abel offered to God a sacrifice because he knew that he was a sinner and unworthy of God's blessing. He was thankful to God for God's blessing, and he wanted God to bless him in the future and to forgive his sins. And he knew that there needed to be a sacrifice. He was looking forward. And we know very well from Hebrews that the animal sacrifices were not enough to take away any sins. But they pointed forward to the one sacrifice. They pointed forward to Jesus' sacrifice when he died on the cross. Abel was looking forward to God's future provision. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah knew that God's judgment was coming, and he believed God's message about the only way to be saved from that flood. And he acted upon it. He took hold of God's provision, he built the ark, and he placed his trust where God had said, and he trusted God. Faith pleases God because it believes in his provision, in his promises. It looks away from ourselves to receive the blessings that God freely gives to us by his grace, those things we don't deserve, but God promises us through Christ. And for the people to have faith in the Old Testament meant believing in the provision that God would make one day. They placed all their hope in what God had said. They didn't know the how. They knew there had to be death. They knew there had to be sacrifice. But they didn't know how. Even Peter, James and John and the other disciples, they didn't really get it, even when Jesus told them the how, did they? They couldn't understand what he was saying. But they knew, these Old Testament believers, the certainty of God's provision. Remember, Abraham, he learned that powerful lesson, the Lord will provide. He was about to sacrifice Isaac, and God provided something, some other creature to take the place of Isaac. And Abraham said, the Lord will provide. He called the name of that place Genesis 22:14. The Lord will provide. He was looking forward to God's provision. So they look forward to the provision that God would one day make. Well, for us as believers, we look back. As well as forward, we look back to the provision that God has already made in Christ. The work is done. That's what the first part of Hebrews is saying. Jesus has done it all. We don't need any more animal sacrifices. His one sacrifice is enough. And the future blessings that God promises to us come to us only through Christ, because Christ has redeemed us. Without the work of Christ on the cross, God couldn't ever write good over our lives. We know more of the how than the Old Testament believers, but we're saved the same way. Verse 39, it says, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So we're all made perfect together through that better provision through Christ. Through Christ's work on the cross, that our sins are paid for, and that God accepts us as righteous. We should never look anywhere else for our acceptance with God. Never look at what we have done, but at what God has done in Christ. And sometimes we can get into that way of thinking. Peter was mentioning it around the Lord's table this evening, how we can look to what we do, to our obedience, for our acceptance with God. But we need to remember it's what Christ has done. The work is finished. And what we do now, we live by faith because we're going to receive more in the future. He's given us all these things in Christ already in promise form. We haven't yet entered into them, in our experience. So through faith in Christ, it's through believing in him, in his death, his resurrection, that we become entitled to receive these things that God has promised. Christ, chapter 12, verse 2, is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one behind it all. He's the one at the center of it all. He's the one at the end of it all. So what do you want out of life? Many people have things that they want to do in life. They might have a bucket list. I want to climb Kilimanjaro. I'm thinking of things that I might like to do. Whatever it is you might like to do. You might like to drive a classic car on a racetrack. Whatever it is, you put them in what would be on your bucket list. Many people have these goals. They retire from work and they say, I want to do this, that and the other, go to this country, that country. And they have it all mapped out. And, well, some of those things are good to enjoy. But if that's all our life is about, how empty it is. What if life turns sour? What if the unexpected happens? What if we experience a sudden catastrophe? If the house burns down? If someone steals the car, if we suddenly get ill health that we weren't expecting? What is it that really matters to you? If you lost your possessions, if you lost your health, your loved ones, what would be left? What would you have left? How important is it to you what other people think of you? That's often more than we would like to admit. We care about what other people think of us, and that's very important to us. But what matters most is not what other people think of us, it's what God thinks. What's his verdict on your life? Can God put good over your life? Not because you are good yourself, but because you are believing in the Lord Jesus and resting in him and believing the promises that he will take you to glory. What is it that matters to you? What do you want out of life? Is it possessions? Is it wealth? How are you going to make the choices in life? Is it going to be the job that offers the most money? What is it? How are you going to decide where to live? Who is at the center of your decision making? Well, these people live by faith. They made choices that were surprising, that were strange to the world around them. And sometimes we will make choices that seem strange to the world around us, but they make sense. When we live by faith, they make sense in God's way of thinking because they are based on his promises, on the sure foundation of his word. So faith, we face many discouragements in this life. The Christian life is hard. It may get harder. There'll be times that are pleasant, but times that are hard, and we go through sufferings, and God didn't promise us, Jesus didn't promise us any less, that he said in this life you will have tribulation, but fear not, in this world you'll have tribulation, but fear not, I have overcome the world. Faith is the key to endurance. Faith is future focused. Our focus shouldn't be on this life. Yes, we are called to live in this life and to serve in this life and to love people in this life and so on, but our home is not the present order of things. Our home is that future world in our resurrection bodies where we will be forever with the Lord, that city which has foundations. Faith is future focused. Faith pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you have faith? You need faith.